From WIPR,
this is More Than Words, where we have the mic
and tell stories of our Baltimore,
our streets,
our schools,
our lives,
our future.
More Than Words is produced by Baltimore high school students. Here are the show's editors, Jonna McCone and Jamila Krempel.
Hi, I'm Jonna McCone. I report on education here at WIPR.
And I'm Jamila Krempel, WIPR's web producer.
This series hands over the mic to young people so they can report and tell personal stories that journalists sometimes neglect or just get wrong.
We partnered with Frederick Douglass High School's Recording Arts and Media Program in West Baltimore. Our four students, Deneira, Xavier, Miles, and Chanel, brainstormed topics and spent months learning and making a radio story. One of the topics they were passionate about was how teenagers are viewed in Baltimore, which turned into their first story.
Deneira facilitated a roundtable conversation with her fellow More Than Words producers about how adults stereotype teens. She started by asking the group how they felt adults perceive youth. We hear first from Chanel.
Well, I think they think we're just, like, lazy. We don't care about anybody else but ourselves. We rely on technology, and we just go out here and sell drugs.
They feel like we're lazy. We're just repeating history itself, but this time it's our fault. If you don't know what to do, if you can't move on the pace that everyone else wants you to move, then it's your fault.
They'll continuously say that forever. They don't want that problem. They don't want that burden on their shoulders. Like, oh dang, we messed up with these kids. Like, well, we all 90s, baby. We all 90s, baby. Like, they don't want to admit, like, dang, we messed up with these kids. We out here going crazy doing this and that. I'm like, yo, we only learn from off of y'all. Like, we don't know any better. Like, did y'all not forget we were children at a point in time where we don't know anything? We only know what we see.
We're still technically children.
Consider to them, we're always going to be children.
The actions that you do today, like, do you think is the cause of adults? Like, because we learn from them.
We're youth, like, we don't know anything. So what are we going to learn from? The adults, right? We only know what we see. I'm not going to say every youth, like, learn from adults, but everything we learn, know, do is from everything from the past. Rap in the past. How's rap now? Like, everything we literally do is because of the past. We just make it
worse.
We just make it even worse to just knowing what it is to us. It was just new to us, so it just seems like it's a new thing. Ain't nothing new we doing.
What experiences have you had with adults? Like, where they viewed you something different than what you really are?
Well, one day I was on the subway, and this lady was starting my Douglas shirt. And when I sat next to her, she talked to her homegirl, and she was like, girl, these Douglas kids, I tell you, they ain't nothing but, you know, like, troublesome kids. And I turned to her and I said, ma'am, you do not know me. I was going to stoop to her level, if you know, because I felt like you need to get to know somebody, like, before you say or speak on them.
But normal kids, like, yo, people, like, kids make mistakes. That's what we do. Like, I ain't going to lie. I mean, some of us are old enough to know better. But then again, it's only but so much we can do if we ain't got no guidance from no one. Like, y'all the adults. If y'all really want to make a change, then go out there and do something instead of sitting there complaining. Y'all do is sit there and just talk, moan, BS about how bad we are, how will we do this and that. Like, yo, if you really want to make a change, then go do something about it.
You know, they force all this other stuff in the system that takes a child from being a child into being, you know, an adult when it's not their time to. You know, even me, you know, there were some situations where I had to, you know, act as if I was an adult to take care of my family or to provide for myself. You know, sometimes those hustles, those quick hustles, you know, they're hard. You know, they're hard decisions to make, you know, and sometimes, like, just working for anybody just to get somewhere, you know, is probably the best decision to make at that time. And in their eyes, it's like, bruh, how are you going to judge a drug dealer when you don't know why he's dealing? I know what he's selling is bad or wrong, but don't you see, like, a corner store, a drug store, a liquor store on every single block? We don't talk about those blocks or those stores that they're putting in our community, but we're so quick to talk about a person slinging dope or slinging drugs.
What are some ways that you think adults could help youth?
Just the simplest thing, walking past the youth and be like, you're great. Keep your head up. You know, do your best. You're going to be something when you grow up. That takes them so far. That can take a youth that feels like he or she's about to do suicide to a state where it's like, you know what? I'm actually worth something. I actually can get somewhere because I believe in myself. I'm great. I'm better than this.
I'm not saying you got to be there holding your kid's hand the whole time, but it'd be nice for them to come home and be like, you know, okay, how was your day? You know, just regular parenting, but I feel like they don't believe in us like as much as they're supposed to.
Referral number one, we need to learn respect. Honestly, I used like not one of us has respect. So in order for us to get some help, we have to help ourselves. Learn some respect, and I ain't gonna lie, this goes both ways. Like they don't respect us, we don't respect them. So it's going to keep being a headbang. It's like fighting fire with fire.
They have to learn how to give their children, an opportunity and, you know, space, the momentum to go out there in the world and make their own life decisions. You know, and the parents, they say, oh, you're mine. You're going to do what I want you to do. You're going to go to college. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. I'm going to put you in JROTC even though you don't like it because I think you like it. I think you're fit best to net.
Bro, I feel you on that. Like, who life am I living if I'm doing it through your eyes? Like, what is that? Like, I ain't living my life. I'm doing what you really want me to do. I ain't doing me.
And it's like when adults be like, respect me no matter what because I'm older than you. That's like saying, okay, since I'm older than you, I can do whatever I want, you know, to you, and you don't disrespect me. If I tell you to do something, you're going to do it. And, it's just crazy to me that they don't respect us how we should be respected. That plays a big role on the youth today. And I hate when people call us the youth. We're still people at the end of the day.
Xavier, Miles, Danera, and Chanel report the show.
Johnny McCone and Jamila Krimple edit and produce More Than Words.
Thanks to Dr. Patterson and Miss Young from Frederick Douglass High School.
This special series is supported by grant funding from the Philip and Beryl Sachs Family Foundation.
Our theme music was produced by me, Xavier Plater.
To learn more about this series and to hear other students' stories, visit wypr.org/morethanwords.
From WIPR,
this is More Than Words,
where we have the mic
and tell stories of our Baltimore,
our streets,
our schools,
our lives,
our future.
Here's one of the series editors, Jamila Krimple, to tell us more about today's episode.
When we started thinking about the topic of his first story, Xavier, a Frederick Douglass High School student, knew immediately that he wanted to focus on gun violence. And while we didn't originally plan for this episode to air on Valentine's Day, we are reminded that violence doesn't take a break. Here's Xavier.
I once had a buddy named G. We used to skateboard all the time. I gave him his first board and taught him tricks. First got it when he was six, didn't know any tricks. Matter of fact, first time he got on it, slipped. I wrote a DGK board that had hollow thunder trucks, Spitfire wheels, red bearings with grizzly grip. And G, he had a used old crystal board. I love that feeling of adrenaline that pulsed through my veins when I skated. Even when I fell off my board, I just got back up and tried again. G used to come to my house and ask me if I could teach him more tricks. I would teach him the basics, how to kick, push, ollie. An ollie is when you bend down and pop up with the board as you jump. He tried but couldn't land it because his posture wasn't right yet. He wanted to pay me for teaching him, but I would never take his money. We loved playing video games on PS3. Super Smash Bros. And UFC were our favorites. He introduced me to Battle Royale All-Stars. I won every game. On January 17th, 2016, I texted G. When you trying to hang, son? He wrote back, prior tomorrow, FR. FR means for real. On January 18th, I wrote, whoa. That was my last text to him. On February 21st, 2016, G, Gerald Hill Jr., was shot and killed. He was 22. I found out from his girlfriend almost a month later. I was skateboarding home when I saw her walking with her niece. I skated over to her and gave her a hug. She said,
"Did you hear about G?"
She burst out crying and said,
"Xavier, he's dead."
At that moment, it felt like my body had shut down. I was hoping that what she was telling me was a lie, She and G were walking in Wildbrook Junction, in West Baltimore. She heard gunshots behind them. She took off running. She didn't notice that G wasn't beside her. When she finally turned around, she saw him lying on the ground with a guy standing over his body. G was shot 6 times. He was one of the 103 black men, ages 18 through 25, killed by guns in 2016. It was hard for me to cry because stuff like this happens every single day, and crying is pointless. It's like I've become accustomed to the deaths and screams around me. I think one of the reasons why gun violence is so rampant these days is because it's so easy to get a gun. Everyone in the hood knows where they are. I live over west. All I would have to do was go down the street. Some people would sell you a gun for $50. And if you don't have $50, no problem. A lot of people just hold someone else's. So what makes them pull the trigger? Fear? Jealousy? Power? Anger? Money? Social media? And there are those that I call just because people. I think if individuals weren't so quick to pick up a gun, they would actually say how they felt instead of pulling a trigger. Residents wouldn't have to live in fear. Less guns, less violence, more hope, more love. I was asked what I thought could prevent the violence. I struggled to answer. I'm afraid if things continue as they are or get worse, people are just gonna give up or leave the city. I'm worried about today, and I'm worried about the future, but worrying is like suffering twice. I believe that Baltimore can change, and I pray for the city, for the people, for justice, equality, peace.
That was Xavier, a student at Frederick Douglass High School and producer for More Than Words.
Xavier, Miles, Danera, and Chanel report the show.
Johnny McCone and Jamila Krimple edit and produce More Than Words.
Thanks to Dr. Patterson and Miss Young from Frederick Douglass High School and Western High School student Michaela Cox for lending her voice to this episode.
This special series is supported by grant funding from the Philip and Beryl Sachs Family Foundation.
To learn more about this series and to hear other students' stories, visit wypr.org/morethanwords.
From WIPR,
this is More Than Words, where we have the mic
and tell stories of our Baltimore,
our streets,
our schools,
our lives,
our future.
I'm Jonna McCone, WIPR's part-time education reporter. In today's episode, Frederick Douglass High School student Chanel produced and narrated a radio diary about being gender nonconformist. Chanel, who also goes by Corey, is committed to dispelling stereotypes about gender identity and expression.
I'm Corey, but most people call me Chanel, and I'm 17 years old.
Mind your business. So what's he? Because I have to interview her, just like I got to interview Dion and Shashay.
And me?
No, I didn't interview you because you play too much.
Y'all just heard my brother Monster, but his real name is Julius. Everyone calls him Monster because he's bad. And he just turned 15. I'm pretty sure you can hear it in my voice. He annoys me at times. I live with my brother, my sister, my aunt, and my mother.
My name is Tennille Munson. Koi is my son. I'm 32. I was born in 1984.
When she need help on hair, she comes to me.
Get it cut down real low and
get everything trimmed to.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so. That's okay. How my head is.
I mean, I can be masculine because I've been it all my life, but until I've just recently started, you know, I wear girl clothing. I wear hair, not wigs, hair. I'm more on the feminine side. I don't want to be a female at the end of the day. I still do like being a boy, but I also like looking like a woman. I just don't want to be a woman.
Q&A with Miles J.
All right, so Q&A is this little thing I do every other Wednesday where I answer some of your...
Miles J is a big YouTuber, and he's 22. He does Q&As, little funny skits. since he's mobile, like I can watch him on my phone.
As I'm starting to really come to terms with my identity, I feel like it's a lot more fluid.
I feel like people often are confused about gender nonconformity versus being transgender. What do you say to people?
I just tell them, no, I'm not trans. You can call me he or she. I don't personally care. I'm just gender nonconforming. It is what it is.
And when I need advice, I can go to him. He reminds me so much of myself.
No, what you want to ask, Koi? What you want to ask? Come on, because I'm trying to get my out.
Have you always known you're doing the right thing?
No, because I never came with a handbook of being a mother, so I just go by what I know is right.
Well, my mom, she kind of like very outspoken, but I feel like she still don't fully understand me yet.
I thought it was obvious, though. But like you said you didn't want to believe it.
Right.
Because I wasn't going to say nothing to you until I was, like, out of the house. Like, not living with you no more. But, yeah, you know I'm not trans or nothing. I don't want to be a girl.
Right.
Like, when I first thought, how did you feel about it when I first...
I didn't like it at all. I had born a son, so that's what I expected, but life changes in different ways. You older for real. I can give you advice, I can tell you things, I can tell you what I would like for you to do, but at the end of the day, it's still your choice because you're much older. You know what you really want.
Picture Tyra Banks picture Tyra Banks with a more masculine face, but my face is not very that masculine. I'm like 5'10", 5'9". I have long hair in my head. It's black, but if I get into the sun, you see me catch me in the sun, it's brown. Only thing you can probably tell I'm a boy is my hands, my Adam's apple, and my voice. That's the only thing. That's it for me. Over and out.
Bye-bye.
I want a simple lip, but I want a color. I'm going to just do some purple.
I take like 3 hours looking for an outfit. And then I decide if I want to put on like lipstick or something. In my neighborhood, it's a long strip of row houses. You walk up the street and it's like junkies just everywhere. It's 3 big churches on the strip. Every corner, everybody you walk past, all you hear is, I got weed, got perks, you know, Zannies, this, that, and the third. And people like don't care about how other people are living after they sell them drugs. And it's just sad, like they be just laid out on the floor, arguing, smoking cigarettes, trying to get as little money as they can. Walking to school or walking to the subway.
I don't understand. It is not that hard to let someone walk past without you saying anything. It is not that hard.
I need to be on, or try to be on time for third period because I'm failing that period.
If I'm not saying nothing to you, do not say anything to me. Don't say nothing about my sexuality. I don't say anything to me at all. As different people in the world, it's just really getting on my nerves. Like, people just keep saying stuff.
By Gilmore Homes, on the wall is this big mural.
Everyone in this room knows what they're supposed to be doing. I don't need to reiterate that. I got 3 classes of juniors to do what they're supposed to be doing every day.
Carry them around, though.
And 1 class that doesn't.
Even though everybody probably in the class treat Paulson like trash, we still respect and love Paulson. Like, he mostly are my favorite teacher. He taught me a lot about the world and how to see people for different reasons and not just what they look like. So I stopped by his class to ask him a few questions. We're going to start right now.
Okay. Mr. Parsons, I teach English to juniors at Frederick Douglass High School. Your class definitely has a lot of personality. Like, everybody gets along, but there's tons of drama that comes along with it. Once everybody's rolling and focused on the work and the distractions have been eliminated, this class gets more into any discussion than any other class.
Every morning, I'll throw up in the window and have a day.
every day at a store.
Hey, hold on a second. How much time has passed?
20 years
since that moment where she was about to leave. She had her bag packed, ready to go.
Every year that class that gives me the most trouble makes the most reading growth.
Like they just told me downstairs I was on the seventh grade. No, I was on the second grade reading level before I came here. And then I think I'm 12th grade now. I know they just said I'm making growth.
Well, yeah, you made tremendous growth in your reading. You made 4 years of reading growth mm-hmm. since the beginning of the year.
What are the qualities that stand out most about me?
Passionate and intense about like the things that you care about. And if you feel like even a concept that we're studying in class is not just, you're going to say something about it. You're going to discuss it. You're going to have something that's valuable to add with that insight.
She should. You should not feel safe for somebody that don't treat you like they're supposed to.
You have an indomitable personality, I think. People respect that.
Who's indomitable?
It means what? Well, if you had to guess, what is the root
strong
word?
Strong personality.
Okay, yeah.
Strong. Nobody can conquer it.
Okay.
Okay, now I get it. Do you think it would be hard for me to get a job as a gender nonconformist?
It's my sincere hope that it would never, ever be a problem. You're talented, you're bright. You know, any company, any avenue that you would work in would be lucky to have you in. But we've studied, like you talked about earlier, some of the injustices that exist, some of the laws that need to be changed or protections that need to be put in place. If anyone ever discriminates against you for a job, they're the ones that's losing out. And I would hope that you would, you know, use the skills that you already have to call attention to that problem, right?
Oh, the other teachers be telling us, like, stuff that they learned from, like, a book. And you got here and told me, like, you can't be quiet when you want to change. You got to speak up for yourself. That's what I'm doing now.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel.
My mother, she didn't finish high school. She was getting these jobs that don't pay that much money. And she still got to support her family, like, she had me when she was 14. She turned 15 3 days later, and she said she didn't finish high school because she had to come, like, support me because she had a child right there, right now. What is your hopes for me, like, in the future? What you hope to see me doing?
I hope that you really, like, understand what you're doing, and I hope you just be successful. I hope that by you, you know, went here or being who you are, that it don't change where you gotta go in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping you be a better person and be successful. That's all I can really hope.
She's down for whatever conversation I want to have because she want me to be there to talk to her when I don't have nobody else to talk to. She hasn't dealt with stuff like this before. Like, this is a first for her, too, so I wouldn't want to lean on her for mostly everything. She learned just like I am.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
That's what she raised me to be, who I am.
Xavier, Miles, Danera, and Chanel report the show.
Johnny McCone and Jamila Krimple edit and produce More Than Words.
Thanks to Dr. Patterson and Miss Young from Frederick Douglass High School.
This special series is supported by grant funding from the Philip and Beryl Sachs Family Foundation.
Our theme music was produced by me, Xavier Plater.
All Me Dang wrote the music featured in our credits.
To learn more about this series and to hear other students' stories, visit wypr.org/morethanwords.
From WYPR,
this is More Than Words, where we have the mic
and tell stories of our Baltimore,
our streets,
our schools,
our lives,
our future.
I'm Johnny McCone. I report on education at WYPR. In this story, Frederick Douglass High School student Miles explores mentorship and tight-knit relationships in his community.
My name is Miles Thompson, and I want to show the good perspective of Black families. They're always positive, come with negatives. Black families are not always about yelling, fussing, and like people do make mistakes, but Black families have that positive, that close, and I want to express my family in that way and show how close we are, even with through our mistakes, and show how much love we have with each other.
Where the diaper bag at, James?
James is my older brother. He's 24, and he has a one-year-old daughter named Skylar.
It's what? Where is it at? Oh, I said, never mind.
That's my sister, Sydney. My house can sometimes be loud and rowdy at first glance. I live with James, Sydney, Skylar, my mom, and my brother's girlfriend.
Come
Here's all of us at a family get together we had this fall.
She acts just like you. I've been doing the same thing with mom.
My family, we can be great supports for each other when we need it. Often, we hear negative things about black families. Of course, there are stereotypes.
Jail, the parents don't care, and the father's not there. My dad stays in my life. I go see my dad on the weekends. I talk to my dad every weekend, every time I get a chance to see him, I talk to him. I try to stay close to my dad. Like, there are always role models in that family. My mom really cares. There are people that really care in the family for me.
I live near Park Heights in Baltimore. I found brothers and mentorships in all kinds of ways. These guys tease me a lot, but that shows me how life actually is.
Y'all trying to stop a black man trying to get his dream. I'm trying to be a reporter.
See, that's the thing. Man, we got to school you with life. That's how businesses sink and swim.
That's my brother James and Brandon and my friend Steve. When I first started recording this story, they were a bit surprised, but pretty inspired that I was working for what I want.
What happened to him?
He was the cleanest one.
Trust him to negotiate. And with Hillary, you can't trust her the whole information. So it's like either way.
We talk about things that affect us, but with a sense of humor.
Nah, man, actually, Bush Jr. 2.0. This 2.5 right
now. Oh, yeah, because they got Bush Jr.
Yeah, Bush 2.5.
My friends influenced me to stay positive. But other people I know haven't had the same guidance when they were young.
What did you go to jail for?
For attempt murder.
You went there for attempt murder?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I gave my friend Chaz, who has way more life experience than me, a call. I found out Chaz went to prison for 4 years when he was 15.
It was over drug money.
Oh, drug money. Oh, when you first started selling drugs?
Like 14.
14? That makes me wonder who was there guiding Chaz when he was just a kid. What was happening in his life that drove him to sell drugs? I've never been on the other side, and I don't intend to. I know my brothers would pull me aside and talk to me if I wasn't doing right. My uncle has been to jail, turned his whole life around from selling drugs back then into, like, he made a positive, went to college, did something. He did something positive with his life. He turned it around. So I decided to chat with him more on his life decisions. Okay, cool. Welcome to Morning Words, though, Uncle Jamie. Would you have done anything different as a teenager?
Yeah, I was a little knucklehead. You know, I was kind of like one of those they call educated thugs. You know, I was too smart for my own good. I always wanted to test the establishment, test the system, and a lot of times I didn't get the right result that I thought I would get. Mm-hmm. But got myself in some trouble. You know, at the age of 17, I caught my first felony. And at the age of 18, I caught my second felony, which landed me in prison for 10 years. You know, when I first got in there, I still was on a thinking I know everything. So I really kind of messed myself up the first couple years I was in there. But I was in there, just, you know, fighting, you know, gambling, making wine, testing the establishment. And then, you know, that kept me in there. So every time I went up for parole, they said, come back next year.
But Uncle Jamie changed his life around and ended up leaving prison early. My uncle affected the whole family with his decisions.
Me going through that, none of your uncles went through it. Because they seen how it affected me and the family dynamic. I mean, your dad, he got in trouble one time in his life for pushing a car in the street, him and some football guys. They was in high school. Mm-hmm. And all the football teams, you know, they all hanging out Friday night. They won the game, so he took a car and pushed it in the middle of the street. and the police had to bring him home, and that's the only trouble he ever been in, ever.
Yeah.
But I was the only one that actually did, you know, prison time.
So, like, what words do you have for, like, kids my age that's going through the same thing you going through or did the same stuff that you did?
One of the major pivotal points of me getting in trouble and really changing my life around was the prison, but literally 9 months before that, I was shot 4 times. Helicopter ride, shot, trauma, all because of, you know, a misunderstanding. I'm arguing with some guys, and I still got 2 bullets in me to this day. You can't win. This is a system, and this is a game. If you're a betting person, you cannot win. You're either going to be in jail or you're going to be dead. I think one of the bigger things that I did when I got out of jail is I had to learn to just disassociate myself from these activities and these friends. So I couldn't go around the homeboys. I couldn't go around the neighborhood. I couldn't hang out at the clubs because these all were triggers to put me back to where I came from. And I got many of friends that came home and went back.
Uncle Jamie grew up in a Lafayette housing projects on the east side of Baltimore, sharing a bedroom with my dad, my Uncle Jay, and my Uncle Poole.
He didn't come from much, but he decided to go to college, and then he applied for a few jobs, but his record of a felony kept coming up and keeping him from getting a job. So he created his own job.
And my business that I have right now that's extremely successful is I own a assisted living that I take care of kids that age out of social service so they can't be in foster home. That's when I take them on. Miles, you know this.
Yeah, I was with you.
I turned my first home into assisted living, and then I got three own homes. I take care of close to 35 clients. You know, most of them are young, but I got them to 85 years old to 21. And you give them a better quality of life. You help them out. You encourage them. And so that's very, very, very rewarding because a lot of these guys were on the verge of getting in trouble.
Now he lives in Atlanta with his family. In Baltimore, Uncle Jamie has a bail bondsman business too, which keeps him connected to people who have faced trouble with the law. He's a big part of my life and a mentor for me.
What do you think, like, men that aren't, like, immediate family, they're not family at all, but, like, they're, like, a mentor to them? What do you think of, what effect do you think they have on black kids also?
Mentors come in all shapes and sizes, different social status. We need more mentors. All you basically need to do is have a working phone and have a listening ear and knowing how to objectively give people positive ideas. And you can be a mentor. So I encourage and I challenge anyone that listens to this program to be a mentor.
People like my brothers and uncles, they inspire and teach me new ways of thinking and getting through life. My family is what holds me together. Sometimes mentors are people you might not expect.
Xavier, Miles, Danera, and Chanel report the show.
Johnny McCone and Jamila Krimple edit and produce More Than Words.
Thanks to Dr. Patterson and Miss Young from Frederick Douglass High School.
This special series is supported by grant funding from the Philip and Beryl Sachs Family Foundation.
Our theme music was produced by me, Xavier Plater.
To learn more about this series and to hear other students' stories, visit wypr.org/morethanwords. Tell me what you know about dreams, dreams. Tell me what you know about night. There is nothing. You don't really care about the trials of tomorrow.